Not so long ago, Perry Bundt had been known as one of the premier idea men in the entertainment business. It seemed like everything he set his eyes on gave him an idea for a movie. One day, he picked up his phone and thought, "What if I could call anyone on this? Even dead people." And in a flash, the entire story unfolded before his eyes. Guy gets mysterious call on his dead wife's phone, telling him who killed her. Later that week, he optioned Dead Call Zone to a major studio. There were days when Perry's mind was so full of stories that there wasn't room for anything else. The problems began when he sat down to write them. For while Perry possessed a keen sense of what made a story interesting, the hook in the parlance of the movie industry, he was mediocre when it came to actually putting words onto a page. The writing in the parlance of the movie industry. Staring at his computer screen, Perry had a terrible realization. Dreaming up a story had almost nothing to do with writing it. Dreaming was inspiring and fun. Writing was grueling and difficult. While dreaming required little follow-through, writing demanded almost nothing but. Perry, it turned out, had very little follow-through.
This struck me as so funny that I laughed louder. It seemed somehow wholly natural that Borden should laugh with me. In a few moments, we were leaning together against the taffrail, and my cheeks were wet with hysterical tears. Borden looked at me with unprobing compassion. The melancholy droop had returned to his face. I felt it again, that shocking impulse to touch him. He nodded, a light nod, as if he'd read my thoughts. I put my hand awkwardly on his, and he let it rest there without embarrassment. Really, it seemed the most natural thing in the world that we should be standing like that in the moonlight, 14 feet above the still, dark water, hand in hand. After another minute, I felt quite calm.
"But aren't you tempted at least to try to plumb the mystery? Doesn't Hamlet say that there are more things? Please don't lob Hamlet at me. Do you want to know what I really think?"
"I do. More than anything."
"Well, it's this, and you may not like it. I think that when a man once becomes insane, he is about used up for this world."
Captain First Rank Marco Ramius of the Soviet Navy was dressed for the Arctic conditions normal to the Northern Fleet submarine base at Polyarny. 5 layers of wool and oilskin enclosed him. A dirty harbor tug pushed his submarine's bow around to the north, facing down the channel. The dock that had held his Red October for 2 interminable months was now a water-filled concrete box, one of the many specially built to shelter strategic missile submarines from the harsh elements. For the 100th time, Ramius told himself that Putin was the perfect political officer. His voice was always too loud, his humor too affected. He never allowed a person to forget what he was. The perfect political officer. Putin was an easy man to fear.
Things were far better to consider than people. Nothing was more terrifying than people gone bad, their brains rotting like spoiled meat in the sun. Of all the atrocities Kate had been witness to during her life, all of them had been perpetrated by people, not monsters. The boogeymen didn't shoot up schools or drive trucks into crowds of people. Ghosts didn't hijack planes or murder families in their sleep. People, bad people, did all of those things. Was one of those bad people out there now? Kathump! That one got Kate to hop out of bed, heart racing. "Andrew," she whispered. He stirred, turning away from her. "Andrew," she said, sharply this time.
"Ahoo! Ahoo!"
Andrew bolted upright. "What was that?" "They're back," Kate said, trembling. "You left the window open."